OWW Radio. Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went 2 sentences and then went, all right, I haven't had a big yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Option 2 is the way to get to us here tonight on OWW Radio as we recover from the 72 and a half hour long phenomenon that is known as WrestleMania. The man laughing is the one and only guru, Nick Anthony. I'm Alan Wojcik. You will hear a voice in a moment. He sounds like he's 35, but he's actually our correspondent, Aaron Kendrick. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm pretty good, Alan. How are you?
Exhausted, shocked, surprised, bewildered, and that was just sitting at a, local eatery here that reminded me of why I sometimes dislike wrestling fans. Interesting evening, in case you didn't realize that, yep, we survived WrestleMania 26, kids, and we did predictions last week. I only got 2 matches wrong. I was stunned out of my shorts. The only 2 I got wrong was, and we're going to run the card, folks, and also tonight, in case you're wondering, you know, these guys always talk, they never ever going to be on their show. Well, we will. In hour 2, we're going to have former Hart Dungeon trainee, former TNA superstar, and current correspondent for the Fight Network based out of Canada, Hotshot Johnny Devine, is going to join us in the second hour. And because of his job, he had to watch what we did, which is watch WrestleMania. And the only 2 matches I got wrong was Big Show and Miz keeping the belts. And once again, as usual, I got Money in the Bank wrong. Big shock there.
Yeah.
We do have a new Money in the Bank holder, and his name is the All-American American Jack Swagger. And Aaron, I don't know.
I thought his name was Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I picked MVP. I was wrong. Unfortunately, I didn't write down who else picked what. Who did you take in Money in the Bank, Aaron?
I picked Kofi Kingston.
It was another interesting night for Kofi. There was spots in that match that just, I don't know, how the heck he, who knew Kofi worked as a stilt walker somewhere in his previous life? If you didn't see the pay-per-view, buy it, steal it, borrow it, whatever. Because you will see Kofi Kingston with a busted ladder hop up on a ladder and try to crawl, go up. I was just sitting there, one of my friends going, what in the heck is he doing? So, 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way to join us here. It is a recap of WrestleMania. surprise of surprises, they opened with the World Tag Title match. I think it was the last couple of years, Nick. We've had Money in the Bank open. And the location that I was watching it at a restaurant called Kerr's Wing House, which is kind of like a Hooters. And Kurtz? A lot of people... Kerr's. It's named after a football player named Crawford Kerr. He played for the Cowboys, and then he settled here in Florida, and he opened the joint up.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people seem to be disappointed that the tag title match even opened the show, but some of the people also sitting around me were going, yeah, well, you always open with Money in the Bank. Why open with a gimmick match? But for those that didn't see it, yep, Big Show and Miz kept the belts. Randy Orton took out the... both members of Legacy, which obviously Randy's no longer in. He's now just the Apex Predator or Apex... I forgot what the...
So is Randy a face now or what?
They're playing him like he's a face, dude. They're playing him like he's a face, and it's really weird because he showed up last night as a surprise partner to the 932-time WWE champion John Cena, who, believe it or not, man, made Dave Batista tap out.
Mm.
Who the heck knew that Dave Batista, with all that security and bodyguards and this and that, ends up doing the tap-tap-tap dance?
Who would think that they would try that same maneuver that sidelined John Cena? Who would have thought that they would try that again, but they did, huh?
Yeah, that was a pretty amazing match.
I thought he broke his leg trying to do that too.
But a couple times in that match, it looked like both of them got hurt during that match, man. I was like, oh my god. As we mentioned, the All-American is the new Money in the Bank match holder, and he faked everybody out last night during the opening segment. He hit him with the case. He's like, I'm ready, let's go. Get a ref out here. As soon as the ref showed, he's like, wait a minute, Cena standing up. Nah. So he's going to play the
game. Am I the only one that found out that that Jack Swagger winning the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania was a little weird? Maybe he pulled that role. You know how people slide under the ring ropes at WrestleMania? And or at Royal Rumble, they slide under the ropes and hide under the ring. You know, King would do that. I think Bob Backlund, he may have done it a couple of times. Swagger did nothing in that Money in the Bank match, and he still was able to climb the ladder and get the briefcase up there. But I thought it was brilliant for him. He's smart.
And then, you know, one of the matches that seemed to disappoint the fans at the location I watched it at was Triple H and Sheamus. I'm not sure why it disappointed people. Maybe some people can call in and tell us or Skype us at WTR_Sunday_night and try to figure out why. We also had Rey Mysterio avoid becoming a member of the Straight Edge Society by taking out CM Punk and Luke Gallows and Serena. We got a new champ, as we mentioned. John Cena is the champ again. Chris Jericho defeated Edge. And what was actually it was weird to watch that match because I turned to one of my friends that came with me and they put Cena, Jericho out. They put Jericho and Edge out there. And I joked with them and I said, if these guys go through a run match before you put on Cena Batista, the crowd's going to be let down by Cena Batista. And they were, because this was just, it was a track meet. It was an absolute track meet. And speaking of craziness, we were talking about it here last week when Nick wasn't here, and we were sorry that Nick couldn't be here, but we're very happy he is this week. And Corey and Scott, Aaron and Aaron can attest to this, we were joking around about, was Vince McMahon, was Bret Hart going to take a single bump, or how many bumps he took? The answer was zero. I think some of the Hart family members took more bumps than Bret Hart did, man.
Yeah, but he had a stroke, Alan. What do you expect?
Then why book him in the match? We've had this discussion for weeks. Why book a guy in a match who's not... Go ahead, Aaron.
What are you eating, by the way?
Which one of us?
You.
I'm chewing gum because I'm still trying to get my voice back from the last couple of weeks.
Okay, so you're going to chew gum while we're doing in the middle of a show.
I did it the last 3 weeks. Nobody's ever complained yet.
All right, Jimi Hendrix. Okay, now, Here's why Bret Hart was in the match. Because they finally wanted to put Montreal behind them. You know, I mean, it was getting ridiculous. You got to admit, Bret couldn't do an interview without having, well, besides us, maybe, he couldn't do an interview without having Montreal being brought up. And then, you know, they brought him in so that the hero could prevail and walk off into the sunset or be with the Hart Dynasty, whichever one fits the situation better. And it worked, really. I mean, come on, did you hear the pops that Bret was getting last night?
Yeah, I was happy to see him show up, so I'm guessing his short-term contract includes, I'm going to mentor the Hart Dynasty now.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Which wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
I think that's what everybody really wants to see, Bret Hart manage the Hart Dynasty.
Hey, man, Natalia, that'd be good.
How long is Bret with the company? A couple of more weeks?
I'm not 100% sure on how long his deal is. They just said that it's a quote-unquote short-term deal. One deal I'm hoping is over with, and hopefully, he said it last night in his promo that he was hoping to honor the stuff with the fans. Big shock to a lot of people with 6 false finishes in this match, including 2 that just blew the roof off of that building, was The Undertaker is now 18-0, boys and girls.
Yeah.
The Dead Man can't be beat.
Nope.
He's got kryptonite at every other match, every other pay-per-view in wrestling.
The true Mr. WrestleMania.
Yeah, he can't be beat in WrestleMania, man. I don't get it.
Let me grab my box of tissues real quick.
You hear me, Aaron?
Trying to do last night.
The true Mr. WrestleMania.
Shut up, Nick.
Well, the thing
I don't see how people can label Shawn Michaels Mr. WrestleMania when he has a horrible record. I believe if we did the record properly, Aaron, if we ran down the stats correctly.
6-8.
How could he be Mr. WrestleMania if he has a horrible record at the event?
I'm going to stand by
When you think of someone having a career that stands out, you don't look at a loss record. You look at the win category. You think of baseball, Mr. October. Who comes to mind? Reggie Jackson, right? Mr. October, he's a clutch. He's able to get the job done. He's able to get the job done. Not Shawn Michaels. Not the showstopper. Not the heartbreak kid, buddy. Who does it? The Undertaker.
He's booked that way to do it.
Sorry?
Of course he's doing that way. He's booked that way to be invincible. As that, he can get put in caskets at Royal Rumbles like they did in 1994, miss a WrestleMania magically, and then get bulletproof again by a SummerSlam.
No, he hasn't had a bad match at WrestleMania. We all know that.
Worst matches ever. Giant Gonzalez, WrestleMania 9.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Shawn Michaels.
Well, Shawn Michaels can't have a bad match at WrestleMania.
Undertaker does have bad matches. Undertaker has had some bad matches. You guys are right. But he's still 18-0 at WrestleMania. He's clutch. He's able to wither the storm or come out.
Here's where you're being wrong, Nick. Wrestling is different from baseball. Wrestling is not a sport where you go out there and compete at your very best to see who can win. Wrestling is predetermined. They tell you who's going to win, and you just got to go out there.
Oh, really? No kidding.
You just got to. All right, Nick.
Hey, let's take a second or two here. Hold on, Aaron. We got a caller on the line who wants to join the conversation. Hello, caller. You're on OWW Radio.
Am I going to have to break you two up?
Yeah.
Really? Do I have to do this now? Scott, who do you think?
Oh, what's up, dude?
What are your producers?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, producers, cool.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on this whole thing. I'm with Aaron. It's not about your win-loss record when it comes to WrestleMania. You have to look at what Shawn Michaels has done during his time wrestling in WrestleMania. Almost all his matches he's had there have been considered through PWI Match of the Year. WrestleMania 10, Razor Ramon in the ladder match. WrestleMania 11, that match with Diesel.
Okay, but look, I'm not saying that he hasn't had good matches. He's had good matches, I know. But still, his loss, the loss category is what everybody, we should be looking at, shouldn't it?
No, not in a sport like wrestling. All it's right. more about the performance.
You
if you look at it, you gotta look at it as a performance, not about the record.
So Taker doesn't have great performances at WrestleMania?
When he, I mean, he doesn't have great performance, but when it comes to...
Probably, outside of Hogan, he's probably one of the guys that draws the majority of the wrestling fans to a WrestleMania event.
I think Michaels has some drawing power of his own. I mean, it's not always about the street. I'm sure the last two WrestleManias were mainly about Undertaker versus Shawn.
Exactly, I agree.
You know, those are probably going to be the big draws. But you really think people watched WrestleMania 24 for Undertaker? I don't even remember who he wrestled. Yet you got Ric Flair defending his career against Shawn Michaels. You think they really went for Undertaker,
okay,
or they went
for
the career-ending match?
That wasn't solely Shawn Michaels either. That was Ric Flair too.
No, but Shawn Michaels is usually put in the situation where he's going to have the best match in the show.
Okay, why does that make him Mr. WrestleMania, though? Why does that make him Mr. WrestleMania? I don't understand that.
Because he has the best matches.
Just
they're
because
the most
he's
entertaining. They don't get better than
just
him,
because,
really.
Just because he's getting put into these high-profile matches, that makes him Mr. WrestleMania? That doesn't make sense.
Okay, everybody calm down. Take a breather for a quick second. Tim's telling us we have another caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to OWW
Radio.
Everybody's
going to attack. Everybody's going to attack me now. I already know it.
Hello?
Yes,
hello, caller. You're on OWW Radio.
Is that me?
That's you.
It's not me. It's you.
Very good. Very good. Well, I didn't see the matches, but I got a history with The Undertaker myself. And,
who is that, by the way? What's your name, first of all, dude? What's your name?
This is Big Val Puccio.
Oh, what's up, man? Big Val.
How you doing, brother?
I'm all right, bro.
And I'm actually glad that The Undertaker's still undefeated, like I knew he would be. Mm-hmm. Because this is kind of getting my plans in motion. Because, I mean, nobody knows it yet, and I haven't even come out and said anything, but I've been kind of down and out these past 18 or so years since me and my brother had our name taken by the WWF. Because, you
that's
know,
right.
we were the original
right.
Undertaker's tag.
The original Undertaker, that's
okay.
right.
Yeah, and I was the Punisher, my brother was the henchman. We were three-time international tag team champions in the ICW. We've been to Japan twice, and then McMahon turns around and, you know, did this behind our back. And I don't kind of blame McMahon. I blame Savoldi's, you know, because they were the ones that were in charge of us. But anyway, my props go to The Undertaker 100% because he made the gimmick, you know, The Undertaker. You know, we really, per se, by entertainment, quote, you know, the way McMahon likes to say it, we weren't really looking like Undertakers. We were like tombstones. You know, we had the makeup on and all that. But our Double Trouble gimmick when we were in the WWE was actually WWF was the shit, and that was me and my brother for real. And
hey, let me ask you.
I don't
this,
know
man.
If I should talk about.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Go ahead.
Did you guys ever go up against the WWE about the Undertaker gimmick?
Yeah.
Whatever happened.
And, in the order of everything kind of changing hands, we basically had to show McMahon wanted in the act of good faith, you know. He wanted, you know, we tried to get our point across is that we weren't trying to sue for monetary gains. We just wanted a little respect. You know, that was our name. We worked in the funeral homes. That whole gimmick came from us. That was me and my brother. See how they brought Kane out? And made the Undertaker's tag team back in the day. We were the pallbearers. We used to pick up the bodies in the morgue. We dressed them. We did the whole deal. And, so that's why it hurt so bad. You know what I'm saying? And when we gave everything up to wrestle, you know, to get the 6-month, 7-month contract, for WWE to see, you know, if Vince would like us, quote unquote, you know, and he didn't even have to like us personally. Every time we went out into that crowd, we wrestled high energy all over the USA, you know, for the past 6 months. We wrestled the Bushwhackers. We wrestled Natural Disasters 2 times for the tag team belt, LOD and the Handicap, Steiner Brothers, the Head Shrinkers for the tag team belts 2 times. You know, so every time we wrestled, we got a pop and we did the job, you know. It was the fact that McMahon didn't like us because we had this, you know, it's like we didn't, I don't know, it's like we stuck up for ourselves, you know. He wants everybody's nose in his ass, you know. I mean, point blank. You know, he's not happy unless you're kissing his ass. You know, so if you're making any kind of wave at all, you know, he's not happy. You know what I'm saying? So here we were. And I remember one night in the Meadowlands, we had a rocking match with high energy. And Owen Hart, we came in, we were all hard, me, my brother, Coco, and Owen, having a great match, had the crowd into it, and Vince pulled Owen alongside, may he rest in peace, and said, what are you putting these guys over? Because the crowd was chanting, you fat fucks, you know, me and my brother doing the Italian gimmick. Excuse my language, I mean, you're probably going to have to bleep that out.
It's all good. We're live anyway.
You know, yeah, it is all good. Even though they were saying that and chanting that, we had the crowd up in the air for taking like high energy. I mean, they were a good team, but you know what I'm saying? They weren't tag team champs ever.
Do you think McMahon's rage at you guys were all because you guys went after him for the Undertaker gimmick, though?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, I believe that in my heart.
All this animosity is still, you know, all that built up is still going on today. So you guys would never be in the WWE. You think that?
Oh, he figures that we're just down and out anyway, man. I've been in these past 18 years, I've been through hell and back, bro. I've been, you know, suffering depression, gained a lot of weight. I've been up over 600 pounds now. For the past, my five, six years. But, you know, God is good. And, he's given me strength and he's given me a vision. Yeah, a very long time. I was a part of a program called TLC, called Brookhaven Obesity Clinic. And, I've been put in a home. I'm actually in a place right now. That's why I'm psyched up and I'm getting my shit together. I'm going to say it right now, and it's going to take help from the people that are on Facebook, all my friends, and people that like me. Even when I was in ECW, I mean, people hated me when I went into ECW, man. Just standing in the ring, I mean, people, you know, I had heat, you know, and that's why I couldn't understand Paul Lee. You know, he was, you know, he put me against Mighty Whipwreck, my first match, you know. Not even 2 seconds in, I throw him down in a lockup throwdown, and he pops and dislocates his shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I got to bring it home. I still got to put him over. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you ever look at that, Blood and Barbed Wire or something, one of those matches, and then I get hot mys. I mean, you know, come on, man. I'm getting paid gas money from the Bronx. To come here, you know, I mean, you gotta pay the guy money, man, you know? You know, that's what it's all about. I had more years in than half those guys in there, you know? But, you know, that's here nor there. I'm just rambling on right now.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad you're keeping your spirits up and keeping things moving, just trusting God, and things will work out better for you guys. Yeah.
I'm back in the gym training, and I'm gonna once I get 300 down, I'll be seriously knocking on somebody's door.
Did you watch me?
Yeah, I watch wrestling every Friday. I watch it every Friday and Monday.
Okay, okay. What do you think of the
product?
Every
Friday and Monday.
What do you think of the product of WWE?
WWE is still the best, man. I mean, I don't get to watch TNA over here, but it's still the best out there. It's always going to be good. The crowd's always going to be behind. McMahon is a genius when it comes to wrestling. It's in his blood, man. He was born and raised into it. You know what I'm saying? His own man ran wrestling. So just those years that he went into, what was that, Yale he went to? You can't help but be the brain to wrestling like he is.
What's your Facebook page? We'll look for you here, and we'll get you on interview you on OWW Radio, and do a little bit more formal.
Yeah, Val Puccio.
Val Puccio, we'll look for you, man. Hey, thanks for calling up, man, and we'll be in touch with you.
Not a problem. I just got excited when I got on here. I was just expecting to get on. You know what I'm saying? So
it's actually
real good to talk to you guys, and you got a good thing going on here. And how do I listen to the radio show?
We're online, worldofwrestling.com.
Okay.
Yeah, or wildtalkradio.com.
What we'll do is we'll
send you something through Facebook or email, and we'll get a hold of you. We'll send all the links and everything so you can hear us.
Very good. Let me tell you something, guys. I'm going to be the one breaking his record.
Oh,
I'm breaking that streak. I'm breaking that streak. The biggest WrestleMania coming is going to be WrestleMania 30, the 3Xs. And mark my words, that's 4 years away, bro. That's four years away. It's perfect time for me. I'll be there.
All right. We're going to write that down. You write that down, Tim.
You write it down. You do it.
Big Val said he's going to be at WrestleMania 30, and he's going to end the streak.
Big Val Puccio, yes. He's taking the under streak. Big Val Puccio, right under McMahon's skin. That's where I'm going to go.
All right, quickly.
Go ahead. Thanks, guys.
I was going to go to break, but what do you got to say?
No, that's good. I'm good to go. We'll talk about that another day.
All right, cool, Big Val.
Thanks, guys.
888-357-9876, option 2. 888-357-9876, option 2. You get it all here on OWW Radio, right, Tim, man? You get professional wrestlers calling in. Big Val.
That's awesome.
Yes. All right, man. Jeez. Got to get him on. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with more OWW Radio.
OWW Radio. All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or foul, even a E-Fed called takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is game day for Mr. WrestleMania. And Mr. WrestleMania has his game face on.
If there's anybody that ought to face The Undertaker at the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, you're looking at him. You may be 16-0 at WrestleMania, but I am Mr. WrestleMania.
Kid Shawn Michaels to the ring. Now he's just Shawn Michael Hickenbottom of San Antonio, Texas, kids. 888-357-986. Option 2 is the way you join OWW Radio. The man laughing is Nick Anthony. The man sitting in the corner going, you use his... Guy in the other corner going, you use his real name, dude. He's Aaron Kendrick. I'm Alan Wojcik. Oh, it's Michael Shawn Hickenbottom. I'm sorry, yeah. Tim.
Hickenbottom. But
he can't, he could, I'm still amazed after all the years that he was able to use Shawn Michaels, because a few years ago, and this is OWW Radio if you're joining us, there was actually a lawsuit brought on by an adult film actor whose stage name is also Shawn Michaels, but he spelled it S-E-A-N, and he claimed that he had been using Shawn Michaels longer and copyrighted it and wanted to sue Hickenbottom and the WWF for violating him. And I was just going like, yeah, right, pal.
He was hitting someone at the bottom.
Yeah, I'm really hoping. He claimed in his very moving promo last night that he's going to try to be, unlike a certain person he retired, Ric Flair, and stay retired. And it did a very nice little video thing, and you can find it online from the WWE.com site or other places. Him talking backstage after Mania.
Yeah.
Saying he would pull Cable and this and that. I'm like, no, because if you're a fan like me of Shawn Michaels, during the time that he was out after WrestleMania 14 when he dropped the title and was out injured from the back injury, he did a really nice RF shoot video. And he had claimed, and of course it was way before who knew he was going to come back in 2002, he had said in the interview with Rob Feinstein, Feinstein, however you say it, sorry, Rob, if you're listening, that he felt he would be, he would fit great into a ambassador role for WWE, that when they needed someone to go do overseas stuff, they could call on him, or, you know, when they're expanding the, now the possibility of a WWE actual television network, you could do something like that. I'm really hoping that's what happens.
Here's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that they ditch this whole guest host thing, so I can start watching Monday Night Raw again. Maybe have Shawn Michaels be, the Jack Tunney figure or the Gorilla Monsoon figure, you know, when they have president.
At one point, Nick. He was commissioner back in the Attitude Era.
Let's bring this back.
Yeah, I mean, that worked for him back in the Attitude Era. I thought it was a good
thing. I thought this whole guest hosting Trumpet said was supposed to go till WrestleMania. Now, obviously, it's going on and on to the point that last night you had two guys that, unless you saw Hot Tub Time Machine, you had no clue who the hell these two guys were.
Yeah. Who were they?
They were two of the guys from the movie Hot Tub Time Machine. They're the two lesser known of the actors in the film. John Cusack obviously is not going to show up on Monday Night Raw, and they had Craig Robinson show up via video screen. But it's getting a point where it's almost like WWE Monday Night Raw, when they're not wrestling, has turned into the David Letterman show or Jay Leno, or back in the day, Dick Cavett or Mike Douglas, where you got something to pitch. Come on our show, man. We'll pitch a movie, a book, a DVD.
Well,
you want
maybe,
spade or dude? We'll do that too, man.
Maybe Johnny Caffarella. Johnny C. of WrestleLicious was right. It's a drama comedy now. I don't know. Sitcom comedy.
Hey, we're the number one action comedy with a wrestling themed radio show in America, and I'm damn proud to say it. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way to join this, discussion on the now retired, we'll see, knock wood, knock fiberglass, whatever's near you, of Shawn Michaels. And it's one of those, it kind of felt this way when you put out a DVD release of all your matches and Michael Cole's interviewing you, and it was just part of me was kind of going, nah, I'm not going to buy it because there's repeat matches from other shows and I already own it. And then part of me's going, well, wait a minute now. He's booked in this career streak thing. Are you buying this, Aaron? Are you sitting there going, yes, 100%, he's retired? Or are you looking at, or are you sitting there going, I like to present Exhibit A, Ric Flair, Exhibit B, Terry Funk, Exhibit C, Hulk Hogan?
Well, I'm not going to put Shawn Michaels in the same category as a Terry Funk or a Hulk Hogan just because they're two completely different people. You know, if you see Shawn's shoot interview, if you see, like, Beyond the Mat, you know, Terry Funk and Shawn Michaels are two completely different people. You know, I think Shawn is going to stick to his word. You know, I read the interview where he said that he wanted to be with his kids as they grew up. I think that's legitimate. I don't think Shawn would lie about anything like that. So I think it's pretty legit. And it's pretty unfortunate for me because, you know, actually, as weird as it sounds, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels have always been my two favorites. So to see one of them going out as one of them's kind of coming back in is really weird for me.
In history, though, which wrestler has ever just walked away completely? I'm guessing Shawn. Well, The Rock went into another genre.
Yeah.
Austin kind of had no point. His doctors told him, you wrestle again, you're going to be a cripple, dude.
Yeah.
He's hyperreflexive in both legs. He's got the neck issue going. I mean, you get guys that come back a little bit. I mean, look, Tito Santana's this middle school teacher in New Jersey. I mean, he does some indie stuff on the weekend. Yeah, but they're not coming back full time like a lot of these guys are.
Yeah.
What do you think, fans? Are you buying the Shawn Michaels retirement? 888-357-9876. Option 2 is how you join us in here. Or if
are
you're
you buying?
Person,
yeah, Skype us in. Or are you buying him being Mr. WrestleMania and that being his, I guess, legacy? I don't buy it. I don't buy him being Mr. WrestleMania personally. And you guys can get on me all you want. I'm going to stand my ground. I don't think I don't think he's Mr. WrestleMania.
Alan, what is your take on this whole thing? What do you think? We haven't heard your thought about who Mr. WrestleMania is.
I think it's a stupid nickname that he invented for himself. It's just like, why? It's like, you know, you can get into the argument. There's a honky-tonk man calling himself the greatest Intercontinental Champion all the time. It works as a moniker. It's something
exactly.
neat to put on a T-shirt.
Exactly.
Mr. WrestleMania? Mr. WrestleMania is Howard Finkel because he's the one who was sitting in WWE offices and said, Vince, I got a great idea for the name of this thing you're going to do in the garden. Let's call it WrestleMania. Vince McMahon is.
Furthermore, don't you think that's Shawn Michaels putting himself ahead of the industry or putting himself over the industry, calling
first
himself
all,
Mr. WrestleMania or over the company?
I'm not so sure Shawn did say that. I'm thinking it was the commentators that actually gave him that moniker.
Well, I'm sure Ross or one of the 800 writers who works for them did it and penned it and said, hey, dude, from now on, you're Shawn Michaels, brother.
And then the wrestlers picked up with it and started calling him Mr. WrestleMania. I don't think Shawn did that for himself.
Well, it's a hard one. Like Nick was saying, and Scott was saying when he called in earlier, you can't, it's a staged event. Of course you can't go by this win-or-loss record, but when you go with the quality of matches that they've had, and this isn't a slight on Marty Jannetty, but once he became a singles wrestler, after the barbershop stuff.
Okay. Why am I wrong on this?
I'm not saying anybody else is right. It's
I'm
hard
looking
to,
in the,
go ahead, man.
I'm looking in the chat room, and Saka's saying I'm wrong with the Shawn Michaels thing. I don't know why I'm wrong on it. I see him putting himself over the company, Mr. WrestleMania, and he's done nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. Yeah, he's been put in these high-profile matches.
And he delivered.
Yeah, okay. He's a great wrestler. Of course he's going to deliver.
And he's like any other wrestler. If he has a great partner in the ring, he's going to look good. Look at WrestleMania 10 in 1994. Would that ladder match have been as good if you don't put Scott Hall / Razor Ramon in there? When his match at WrestleMania 12 against Bret Hart, would that have been the stuff
when
of legend?
Yeah, exactly. When I think of WrestleMania, I do not think of Shawn Michaels. I think of Hulk Hogan, quite honest. That's who I think of when I think of WrestleMania. I don't think of Shawn Michaels.
I got to disagree right there. Whenever you say if you put somebody else in the ring, it wouldn't have been as big. I got to disagree right there. I mean, remember the Survivor Series with Bam Bam Bigelow? And how Andre the Giant put him on the map. That was a good match, and people started taking notice with Bam Bam. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember, you're in TNA. Remember when Jay Lethal had his match with Jeff Jarrett, and they really put Jay Lethal over, and the fans have loved him ever since? Remember that?
Well, fans love him also because he's stealing Randy Savage's gimmick.
Yeah, the machismo.
Before that, I mean, with Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, but
they did
something right there. They brought an outside talent in, and the best way to get him over. This goes back to the territorial thing when we were talking with Joey Machete a few weeks ago about missing of the territorial days. That was the way you brought in an outside talent into your territory. Let's use the example of Championship Wrestling from Florida. Whoever the heavyweight champion was, you came in a non-title match. And you beat the champ. And then all of a sudden, everybody was like, holy crap, who is this guy? I want to know who he is. And you built a star.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels was, for a guy who got fired, I lost count how many times he was fired, quit, took his ball home, cried.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I'm not the only one with this.
Yeah, we got someone who wants to chime in on this. He's a part of the Wild Talk Radio family and Wrestle Talk Radio. Come on, Tim. What are your feelings on this? Are you for Mr. WrestleMania? Or are you sitting there going, God, you guys need to shut up about him?
Let the Canadian talk. I'm sure he's going to bash me.
Tell us what.
And you, Tim.
Okay. I am the showstopper. I am the main event. I am Mr. WrestleMania.
Okay, that was a good impression.
How can you say
that Shawn Michaels has no frickin' right to call himself that. Nick, you're smoking crack, and if you're not, you probably should. Stop and think about it quickly here, okay? Shawn has every right to do whatever he wants for a gimmick. And calling himself...
I didn't
Mr.
say he can't have a gimmick. When did I say he can't have a gimmick?
By telling, by saying that he's got no right to call himself Mr. WrestleMania.
He doesn't. He has no right. What has he done? He hasn't done anything to call himself Mr. WrestleMania. His loss record is horrible. You heard me say that. You're running a show. You don't hear what I'm saying?
Having a one-loss record doesn't mean anything. He's the most consistent performer. He is the guy that cannot have
a bad
match.
Okay. He's the most consistent performer on a staged program, man.
It's
come
not,
on.
Hey,
you kidding?
No, it's not about wins or losses, Nicholas.
Okay, Timothy.
It is not about wins or losses. Now,
it's about a butt every 18 inches in a seat, as someone who would say. Go ahead.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you as a rhetorical question. Everybody listening to OWW Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and onlineworldofwrestling.com every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, go!
Well, we're talking Shawn Michaels. I got to do the nice plugs. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Shawn Michaels, you stop and you think about it. Yeah, the guy was one of the most hated, if not the most hated guy, in the locker room during the Attitude Era. Okay? He just was totally despised. He had problems of his own. He hated himself away from that ring. The only time he ever liked himself was when he was performing in front of other people. Okay? Number one.
Hey, Tim,
number two.
Tim, can I get some of the pills that Shawn was taking? Because, that was obviously what you're talking about.
Well, just go grab yourself some Soma and you'll be good. Anyway.
Awesome. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, without any further interruptions, because I'll mute you all to get my point across.
Okay, can you just please go, please?
Right? WWE probably would not have survived the Monday Night Wars had it not been for Shawn. Shawn was carrying the company on his back and was able to help bring it through the Monday Night Wars. The ratings would have been a hell of a lot worse without him. Like it or not, number one, or that was number two. Number three, you tell me that anybody who wants to call themselves Mr. WrestleMania has to have a lot more wins. And you can argue this fact all you want, but that's what it boils down to, whether you say it directly or you imply it. Shawn Michaels has not had a single bad match. He has had nothing but the match of the show, of the card, of every WrestleMania he has been in.
Are you done?
No.
Are you done?
No, I'm not done. Okay? He has, you know, like single-handedly in several different WrestleManias made the show worth the $65 everybody has to pay for and complain about every single year. The guy is entertainment. Now, here's the thing, Nick. I am not a Shawn Michaels fan. Anybody who knows me knows.
I'm not either.
Okay, but unlike you, at least I apparently can be objective about it. I am not.
Yeah.
I am not adverse to giving the devil his due. Shawn Michaels deserves it. All right. He's the most entertaining performer I have seen at any WrestleMania, and I'm putting him over anything I've ever seen Bret Hart do, okay, which is going to absolutely cause everybody to think that hell's frozen over. Who knows me?
Yeah, you just got sent to America for bashing Bret, dude.
All right,
get your passport ready.
Yeah, I haven't bashed Bret. I just said that.
Hey,
Shawn
we have
Michaels,
free healthcare now, too, so you're all good.
Well, you'll have it in 8 months.
And then I got to pay for it anyway.
All right. Now,
well, not until 2014, but you're good.
Okay.
All right, Shawn Michaels.
You know, I'm the biggest Bret Hart fan going, and as much as I love Bret Hart and his technical style of wrestling, the most entertaining performer consistently year to year at every single WrestleMania he has ever been involved in happens to be the Heartbreak Kid. Shawn Michaels. He's got every right to call himself Mr. WrestleMania and not have it take away from the company or anybody else involved. You stop and you think about it, well, then everybody else who happens to wrestle for WWE had better quit calling themselves the best because it takes away from all the other guys.
So what does that make Undertaker's streak 18-0? What does that make him at WrestleMania? Mr. what? The second Mr. WrestleMania? What does that make him?
No, that makes him the dead man. Okay, he's not the one who has ever said, okay, I'm going to use this because nobody else has used it yet. Shawn Michaels uses it because nobody else used it yet.
Okay,
there's nothing wrong with it. So get off Shawn Michaels'
there's
back.
There's nothing behind it. You're saying there's nothing behind Mr. WrestleMania. That's just a title that he's given himself.
Exactly, Nick. Finally, I think I broke through that wall. That's exactly right. It's just a title. Look at me. I'm the most electrifying man.
He does not define WrestleMania matches, though.
Concerning WrestleMania, I'm the best armchair booker you'll ever meet.
All right, are you done?
Oh, just about.
All right. I'm going to allow you to hang up yourself.
He's got a great show on the weekends, folks. Check it out on Wild Talk Radio's website. And it's Wrestle Talk Radio. Is that what you guys are called? I keep butchering your name.
No, it's Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night at either 10 o'clock Eastern or immediately following every pay-per-view as we break them all down. Tune in this weekend because we've got a lot of stuff going. Thanks for letting me call into your show. Have fun. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Jeez. I got a headache listening to him. No, seriously, my head is just like, on this right side, I think I'm going to have a heart attack.
Because you got a headache. Now, I'm going to add one thing to what Tim had to say. Now, Tim brought up good points. You know, Sean has been, he's been the most entertaining, and he's had the greatest matches in the history of WrestleMania. I mean, Nick, you can argue this all you want, but the people said that the Iron Man match was the greatest match of all time. They said that the ladder match was the greatest match of all time. They said that the match with Ric Flair was the greatest match of all time. They said that the match at WrestleMania 25 with The Undertaker was the greatest match of all time.
Or Kurt Angle or Chris Jericho or anyone else that he's been in the ring with.
Exactly. So who else? I mean, who's been in the most consistent greatest matches of all time? Shawn Michaels, and they all just happened. Oh my god. He just. Never mind.
888-357-9876, option 2. 888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm still sticking to my guns. What do you call Undertaker if he's got an 18-0 record? You just call him Dead Man? He's got to have some type of moniker, some type of, you know, title at these
the
Mania events.
Never been, all right, let's call him the guy that's never, never been beaten at WrestleMania.
Yeah, well.
The guy who's going to kick your butt every WrestleMania, but he'll lose to you after he comes back from a hiatus after the pay-per-view.
We can call him the Nightmare on WrestleMania Street.
I could probably fit on a t-shirt really nice, market it, sell it, let's do it.
What, the guy who never lost at WrestleMania? That's kind of
His other one he just said, Nightmare on WrestleMania Street. I kind of like that.
That's long.
Hopefully nobody in Stanford's listening because they'll start stealing our material and we'll hear it on Monday Night Raw and they'll be going, Vintage so-and-so. And I'm like, yes, that's us, we're Vintage.
Then we'll join Big Bow and get this lawsuit going.
Yeah.
I want to sue for the time that I lost for watching their shows on certain nights. And we're going to get into the ratings and everything from this past week in a little while in the second hour. And don't forget, around the 10:15 time block, current Fight Network correspondent and former TNA superstar hotshot Johnny Devine will be joining us. So get your questions ready if you got them for Johnny Devine.
We had him on before, Johnny Devine. What was this fallout from the WrestleLicious show that I keep hearing about?
We're not acknowledging them anymore, man. There's no reason to acknowledge them.
I don't know what that product is.
Never heard of it, man.
But I want to know what this fallout is. Rock and Sock brought it up a couple of days ago.
Honestly, I don't care.
We don't care. We're the number one action comedy with a wrestling-themed radio show in America. We don't care what anybody else thinks of us. They don't care what anybody else thinks of them.
All right. Enough said, then. All right, you want to throw us over? All right, I'll do it. 888-357-9876, option 2. 888-357-9876, option 2. Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. We'll take a break at the top of the hour here. Johnny Devine, as Alan mentioned, coming on, former guest here at OWW Radio, and he's a correspondent on the Fight Club, right? Fight Club
Fight Network.
Network.
It's the Fight Network.
Okay, Fight Club, Fight Network, all the same thing. I got this huge headache because of Tim Steen. Tim Steen called up, gave me this huge headache, and I need Tylenol now. Well, let's take a quick break, come back with more OWW Radio. Alan, Aaron, and Nick. OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho, Terry Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
This is Mace, the self-proclaimed favorite Aussie of the Wild Talk Radio Network, telling you to come step in the ring with me and the rest of the Wild Talk Radio crew every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And if you don't, we'll make Will come over there and drink all the alcohol.
Five, seven, nine, eight, seven, six, option two. Welcome back to hour two of OWW Radio. I'm Alan Logic with our regular crew of folks here this week. Nick Anthony's joining us. Aaron Kendrick's joining us. You can join us. 888-357-9876, option two. This hour, we're going to have him on. Hotshot Johnny Devine will be joining us to talk WWE, TNA, anything wrestling-wise, because he is a correspondent for the Fight Network, which is a Canadian broadcasting station that covers everybody, and could, if you go to their website, they'll tell you that once again, TNA, maybe this is one of the reasons why they're moving up an hour, guys. We've speculated on this in the OWW Genesis board and other boards that are out there as to why this hour shift is coming up next week. One version that I pitched to people was, well, the NCAA finals are next Monday, and TNA is smart enough to get out of the way of that. Well, when you're doing a .6 as your rating, against the Farewell Shawn Michaels edition of Monday Night Raw that does a 3.7. Someone in the Nashville office has got to be sitting there fact and figuring, and thanks to the folks on OWW Genesis, our producers, Scott, Corey, that told us this is the lowest number TNA Impact has done since 2005 when they ran it on a Saturday night at 11 o'clock. Now, my question to Nick and Aaron is, and to the fans as well, is this move to the 8 to 10 block a one-time thing, or is this Dixie, Vince, and everyone else at TNA waving the white flag going, we surrender, you're kicking our asses, we're going to move away from you?
They didn't expect for them to get, like, they wasn't expecting WWE to beat them like this, point blank. I mean, they thought they would be winning by now.
No, they didn't, Aaron. Hogan even said it, Dixie said it, everybody's been saying it, that it's going to take TNA a while to even dip into the WWE's ratings. It's going to take a while. Just give it some time. Okay, WWE just got rid of the chair shots and all this crap. People are going to turn away from this bull. Believe it or not, this is crap over there at WWE. Just give it some time. TNA will bounce back. They will recover, and they're going to dip into the ratings of WWE because they're not wrestling anymore. And by Vince coming out in the news a couple of weeks back or a couple of days, whenever he said it, he came out and saying TNA's with this blood-soaked pro wrestling, and he's basically turning his back. What got him all the money that he's got in his back pocket, he's turning his back on it. And for you guys to continue to watch WWE is blatantly saying that you're an idiot.
Yeah, but he's done this for years. He's done this for years, Nick and Aaron.
He's never came out and said it, though, Tim. He came out and said it.
He said it for years. I'm not in the wrestling business, Ted Turner. I'm in the sports entertainment business. Yeah. He's not a sports entertainment person. And if you get a chance, fans, I'm going to be putting out a review in the next couple of days of Jim Cornette's You Shoot interview, which is available at kayfabecommentaries.com. And Jim Cornette, who worked for the company 4 years, said, Vince McMahon doesn't watch wrestling. Unless it's in the wrestling bubble of WWE, Vince doesn't watch TNA. Vince never watched ECW. I doubt Vince ever watched WCW before he bought it and said, hey, I got this neat library, guys. Let's go watch some tapes. Ha, ha, ha. Why do you think he's got all these minions of people around him? They're the ones that filter out all the stuff to say this to people. They can tell him, hey, Vince, we got some people on this other network that are getting booted out. Fans are probably sitting there going, you know, man, it's been a while since I've seen so-and-so. Well, we can tell you where three of them ended up. Consequences Creed, gone. He made no mention recently on his Twitter account, but I believe it's switched up since yesterday.
Yeah, I think it did.
Consequences Creed, gone. And that real big roar you heard yesterday afternoon around 4 o'clock was me. Because we found out, thanks to our source of WrestlingRadio.com, that Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags are gone. And the report is, now, there's a lot of gray area in this, guys. The report states that Brian Knobbs was involved in some sort of incident, a TNA-related event, where Spike TV executives were present. The main issue came from Knobbs' behavior at the event, which reportedly led to the team's release. No, really. Don't you think it would have been the fact that Jerry Saganovich is the only guy that could take a bump on the team? And it's not a slight on Brian Knobbs, because I've met the man at some Tampa Bay Rays games, and he's a very nice person to talk to. But when you're as invalid as Hulk Hogan is, that I'm crying in pain watching you walk to the ring, if they were going to bring him in, they should have brought him in as road agents, producers, whatever you want to call them, to get the next generation ready, which a lot of people, you know, don't do and sometimes do. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way you get with us. Is anybody sitting there really going, God, I'm so pissed the Nasties are gone? I mean, Consequences Creed, unfortunately, he's another casualty of so many X-Division wrestlers. What do I do with the guy?
Yeah.
I could be wrong, Nick. I could be wrong, Aaron. Tell me if I'm wrong, man.
No, you're absolutely right. I have no problem with Knobs and Sags being gone from TNA. And matter of fact, I have no problem with Creed leaving the promotion.
I never liked Creed, really. I thought it was just an Apollo Creed knockoff.
Well, he usually wrestles, I think he wrestles under the stage name of Austin Creed. And I'm sure Bill Barons will be sending out something in a few days saying that I'm booking him for independent dates. So we may be able to get him on, we may not.
What's TNA? You worked at TNA, you worked over there closely with TNA, Alan. What's their stance on getting released and talking to the media?
Usually it's pretty fast. Like I was one of the first people to interview Frank Kazarian back when he got let go before he went to WWE. So they don't have like a media blackout on them, so we can probably get Scott and Corey on trying to find out how to get with him. He's got a Twitter account, so I don't tweet or twang or any of that stuff, but I know have those accounts. Nope, no tweeting or twanging here, sorry.
You Facebook it though, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll be able to find him on there.
Yeah.
Was anybody weirded out last night that it seemed like is sitting there watching Monday Night Quill. Sorry, that's a nickname in my house for Impact. Mm. We're sitting there. I happen to DVR both of them to watch this morning back to back, and I'm sitting there and I'm just going, God, Nature Boy Ric Flair, you're the man, you're the legend, and now you look like one of the guys.
He looks like
one of the Sunshine Boys from a movie back in the day with George Burns. It's just horrible.
Oh, man. I haven't watched the shows yet. They're on my DVR. I haven't seen them yet.
Well, I mean, this is a good one for the fans because this actually made the internet stuff, that the main event of last night's show, which was a six-man preview of the lockdown cage, which I'm already missing the Six Sides of Steel because that cage just looked horrible on TV, that someone in that six-man match wasn't really supposed to be there, namely Showtime Eric Young. Supposedly backstage stories are going around that he went into business for himself in that situation and went in and during that whole beatdown at the end of the show 2 weeks ago to set up last night's cage match, saying that people were saying backstage that, well, he's not up to the level of a Jeff Hardy or a Rob Van Dam. I mean, is that like an insult to Eric for all the years that he's been in the company, guys? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's been said, I read, like, Horseman. I read that he had, like, a big, oh, my God, why is he doing this? Why is he coming out here at a moment like this? I mean, it just really killed the moment. It was a buzzkill. I mean, I thought the exact same thing.
Horseman.
Horseman.
One of the people in OWW Genesis.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it was just, why is Super Eric coming out here with Mr. Monday Night and the Charismatic Enigma? It just didn't make sense. I don't understand why he was in the whole gimmick with Kevin Nash to begin with.
It's a tough call, because I mean, they had him with the World Elite, which, of course, went God knows where. We'll ask Johnny Devine about this, because for years he was a part of Team Canada, which was two of Team Canada are still actually working there. Bobby Roode and Eric Young are still there. Petey Williams not there. But we'll get Hotshot Johnny Devine on here. Get on the line now if you want to talk to him. 888-357-9876, option 2. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with 295. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The evolution continues. Sunday nights when Wrestle Talk Radio hits the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Covering the latest in pro wrestling from all the news you need to know. Comprehensive pay-per-view coverage and some great debate.
And this week we've got Mr. Perfect scoring off against Rick Rude.
Plus, you will never know who will drop in for a conversation.
Hello. This is Extreme Championship Wrestling's referee, Jim Molina.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar, Al Snow.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
Interact live with the show anytime at 1-888-357-9876 and give us your take on the world of pro wrestling. Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
A357-9876. Option 2 is the way to join us here on OWW Radio. I'm Alan Logic along with Nick Anthony and Aaron Kendrick, and now we are being joined. We've been teasing them all hour, folks. Thanks to Tim Stein, we know that this song is his theme music when he's on the indie scene, and he is coming back to the indie scene from what I've been talking to him about on his Facebook account. Former TNA superstar and current Fight Network correspondent, hotshot Johnny Devine. Welcome to OWW Radio, sir.
What up, Lord? You click visits, you douche. What's going on?
That's a running joke for fans that are probably going, God, that guy can't your name right. I have met Johnny Devine. Got to be at least two. You came into TNA with Team Canada when? In 2003 or was it 2004 you came in?
2004.
Yeah.
It'll be 2004.
That's been a running joke for all these years. Every time I see him, no matter where we are, Alan Majojo, Hulk Hogan, Booker, they're like, yeah, hi, Johnny, how are you?
I can never say it right. There's, you know, I want to buy a vowel every time I say your name.
We were talking earlier.
You know, the most ridiculous part about that joke is really you have a very simple name, and I'm making it a lot more difficult than it needs to be, like I do with just about everything else in the rest of my life.
Well, we'll get to John. If you want to get in on the line with him, folks, he will take calls from everyone and anything. He is a very opinionated man. If you go to his Facebook page and look him up, or you see his Fight Network tidbits online, your overall feeling of WrestleMania 26, where does it rank in your feeling on the? Were you sitting there going, "God, if my job didn't require me to watch this, I would never have done it."
Did you
walk away from it, Johnny? This was a great show.
There were great moments. There were not so great moments. On the scale of great WrestleManias, I would put it somewhere around like maybe a 13th, maybe a 12th. Or maybe 11th on the list, you know, kind of thing. But there was some great stuff, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with Taker and Michaels. It's just not possible. And I thought, you know, there was a lot of great aspects to the show. But was it a, you know, oh, my God, must-see pay-per-view? Absolutely not.
Do you see, let me ask him something here, Alan. Do you see Shawn Michaels as Mr. WrestleMania?
Are you asking Alan or are you asking me?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, you said Alan.
What?
He wanted me to shut up, so.
I see Mr. WrestleMania being unnamed as of yet. You've got too many guys who've been around for quite some time, who've had fantastic matches. And I mean, if you look at something like the streak, you know, bottom line is who else can be Mr. WrestleMania other than The Undertaker,
exactly,
who's absolutely undefeated at WrestleMania?
Finally. You know? Finally.
But at the same time, as far as top-notch WrestleMania matches. Can you think of anybody who's had more top-notch WrestleMania matches? Because, I mean, you know, The Undertaker is awesome, but you can only pull so much out of the Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, there you go. 888-357-9876, option 2 is the way to get in here with Hot Shot Johnny Devine. Go ahead, Aaron, you were saying.
I was just going to say, Nick, I guess we're both about the same as far as who's right and who's wrong.
I'm just happy, you know, that somebody stands behind me, you know?
I would never, ever, ever discount anything Shawn Michaels has done. The man has led an absolutely amazing career. He is, you know, he was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. I was the first one to jump on the Shawn Michaels bandwagon when he put Marty Jannetty through the plate glass window of the barbershop. I was immediately on the sexy boy bandwagon, as gay as that sounds, you know. But the bottom line is that when I was, what I guess, 14, 15, 16, when he made that turn, whatever it was, you know, me and all the rest of the fanboys on the planet, we jumped on the bandwagon.
Wow.
So even before you ever heard of Chris Irvine or as Chris Jericho, Shawn was the one for you?
Well, my original favorite wrestler, of course, was Owen Hart or the Dynamite Kid, because I was a Stampede guy. I grew up in Calgary, and all I watched was Stampede Wrestling. So Owen Hart was the one. I mean,
yeah,
Owen
was trained by the Harts, huh? You were trained by the Harts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So Owen was the man. But through my fandomship of wrestling and my Markness, you know, when I was a young Mark, I was immediately drawn to the Shawn Michaels, you know, boy toy character, because it was new and edgy.
Now, you just brought up, you know, that you were trained in the dungeon. Can you just explain to us how that went along? Like, how did the training process go?
Well, let's see. Do you want me to describe a typical day in the dungeon?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Is that what you're looking for? Well, yeah. I mean, it would depend on who is there instructing for the day. You know, most of my practices, Bruce was the coach. Bruce and Ross, when I hit the dungeon in 97, were running the dungeon out of the dungeon in Stu's basement. So I used to go up for dinner and lunch and all that kind of stuff up with Stu and them quite often. With Stu and Helen and the family. But a typical day, let's see. So let's say it was a Saturday practice. The Hart Mansion is on a huge hill in Calgary called Signal Hill. And, you know, me and whoever else was there to train for that day, we'd run to the top of the hill to warm up, you know, do basically a lap of this stretch of street, which is about, I want to say, probably 2 miles at least. Most of it uphill, to do our warm-up, come back, do some stretching, go over some chain. We would work on bumps. So we'd probably spend at least an hour or so working on, you know, chain wrestling, holds, reversals, that kind of stuff, the basics. Then we'd work on, you know, some bumps, some suplexes, some body slams, the different stuff. Depending on where we were, if we were in the ring out in the yard, we could work on high-flying stuff, we could work on rope running, we could work on vertical suplexes and stuff like that. If we were inside the house, because of the pipes and the ceiling being so low, it became difficult to do things like body slam. So you were working on a lot of snap suplexes, belly-to-bellies, Germans, that kind of thing. So there would be that for, you know, at least a good 45 to an hour. And then you'd probably finish off with some striking. And anybody who's worked, somebody who came from fucking Stampede, knows that striking was what we were all about. So it would be, you know, forearms to the chest, forearms to the head, European uppercuts, punches, chops, clubs to the back, that kind of stuff. And we used to beat the holy horse hell out of each other. And, yeah, you know, but that was how we liked it, and that was the style for the area, and that's how we worked.
Stu Hart was inducted into the Hall of Fame this past weekend. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely deserved. The man produced more superstar talent than I think any other trainer that I can think of offhand, any single trainer that I can think of offhand. I mean, who else has put out more top stars than Stu Hart or his dungeon in the Calgary territory?
Only one other person I can think of, that's Kowalski, but he's in already, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so is the Graham. But even Kowalski, that I was going to think of.
Who's that, sorry?
Kanye.
I was thinking of the Grahams down in Florida. They had some good talent come
out of
there.
Absolutely, absolutely they did. Absolutely they did.
You know, we brought this up on last week's show when Nick wasn't here. We were talking who should, in the fictional WWE Hall of Fame, because it is fictional, obviously. We were surprised. Owen's nowhere near the Hall of Fame. Now, this is a guy who, and even if he hadn't passed away, the tragedy that he did, this is a guy that's still multi-time tag champ, Intercontinental champ, European champ. If they'd been given the right ball, he possibly could have been WWF champ, especially now that you have the two championships. Is he someone in the next year or two that you could see? And I'm asking you as not just a fan of his, but as an observer from the business, is this a crime that Owen Hart's nowhere near a Hall of Fame right now?
No, not at all. I would bet everything I own almost. I would take it as an assurity that you would see Owen Hart in the Hall of Fame next year if Brett is still involved with WWE and still on good terms with them at the end of his run. If Brett is still involved, Owen Hart will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame next year.
Well,
it should.
Since you brought up Brett and you did watch the 600-hour-long pay-per-view that is WrestleMania, what were your thoughts on that match overall? Because we were talking about it. We were like, the over-under on the bumps in that thing, we thought we're going to at least beat two, and they were mostly Vince's ass hitting the canvas. Do you think that was booked properly, or are you sitting there going, why did we have this match at all?
Well, I see it from one of two perspectives. I see it from the fan perspective, and I see it from the worker perspective. Which would you like first?
Do the fan, please.
All right. So from the fan perspective, it became, to me, hard to hate Vince McMahon when you had 10 hearts beating him up.
yeah.
To me, it would have been much more beneficial to the angle to have the family turn at the end. That's what it, like, as far as a fan, I mean, to me, it killed all the suspense and drama and, you know, the oh my God of having Vince bring out the family when he turned them before the match even started. You know, so that took a lot away from it. Now, from the worker perspective, I see why certain things were done. It was done so that each family member could get in his licks on Vince. Because when you're one of the boys and you're wrestling a promoter, you have absolutely no control. Okay? Because bottom line is Vince is going to control what goes to air, and Vince is going to control who says what, and Vince is going to control the final product. Correct?
Right.
Yeah. I believe it.
Okay. But when you are live in the ring on a pay-per-view with the boss and the cameras can't be turned off because it's WrestleMania, what better time to get in your receipt?
And boy, did they ever. I mean, I think they're still beating the crap out of them.
And that's probably the point, right? Is however they booked that, and in my mind, they booked it that way on purpose. It was booked as a completely one-sided beatdown because that is the general consensus of what Vince deserves. So he gave what everybody wanted to see, in essence. Whether or not it was entertaining to most depends on their love of the Hart family, I think.
Well, speaking of the Hart family, as someone who trained in the Hart Dungeon, you've got currently working on that roster. You've got two other people that were involved in the Hart family in TJ Wilson, sorry,
Three.
Tyson Kidd. I can't call him that. Well, I was going to mention Natty as well, but she's not currently a part of the team that I was about to talk about. But you've got Harry Smith and TJ also mix in Natty there. What were your thoughts on seeing? Do you think that WWE is going in the right direction with, I mean, we've never been really told how long this short-term deal is. Would you as a fan like to see Brett stay on as the advisor to the Hart dynasty, or are you just going, yeah, let them get the Harts to push and then they'll get going?
No, I would absolutely love to see Brett stay on and give Harry, TJ, and Natty the rub, because from what they've done with them to this point, from what WWE has done with the Hart Dynasty to this point, they need that extra little rub that Brett will give them. Once he's given them the proper rub, which started last night with their deal with Miz and Big Show, or Show Miz, or whatever you want to call them, I see a long, successful, tag title run for them, because pound for pound, legitimately, there are no two more talented guys in that company. And I speak from experience of rolling with a number of, guys currently on the roster, lots of them. So, pound for pound, move for move, hold for hold, excitement factor of matches alone, nobody can touch Harry and TJ.
You don't see a Shelton Benjamin or a John Morrison tag team competing in that with
no.
that?
Athletically, absolutely. Athletically, I could see them being able to keep up, because Morrison, Truth, Shelton, Kofi Kingston, guys like this who are absolutely fantastic athletes, absolutely they can keep up. But do they have the technical knowledge to hang with a TJ Wilson or a Tyson Kidd? Not a chance, because I know for a fact that Tyson or TJ or whatever the hell we're going to call him has more holds and more reversals than any three guys that I can think of, other than maybe an Alex Shelley. Okay? And then Harry Smith, let me put it to you this way. Do you know any other 6'5" guys who can do a standing 450?
Him, that's about it, because I've seen him do it.
Bottom line is whatever you may think of Harry is doing in the ring now, character-wise, and a smart wrestler does less. Less is more. So whatever people think Harry can do to this point, they know nothing about what he is capable of. And if you give those two guys a big show performance at a major pay-per-view like a Royal Rumble or a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania, you will see stuff that will absolutely boggle your mind, and you'll become a refreshed wrestling fan, because you're going to go, what did I just see? That was amazing.
We've got a caller on the line. His name is Mike. Welcome to OWW Radio with Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I love you work in TNA, man. You're totally awesome. I got a couple of questions for you.
Well, thank you.
Since we're talking about the Hart Dynasty and their actions with the tag team title division, I'd like to talk about Natalya. I've seen her work when she went against, I think it was Beth Phoenix, which I want to tell you, their match was, phenomenal. And
what a travesty that she is not working more.
I know, that's crazy.
That is, that's one that I don't like. One of the questions I do have is, do you think that Natalya would be better if she worked for TNA?
Well, would she have had more opponents to work with before Melissa and Kong and Gail left? Absolutely. With Natty there, it would have been a totally different scenario. There would have been some of the most amazing women's matches I think we've ever seen. Do I think TNA would use her better currently? I don't know. I mean, that's all subjective, really. You never know what a company's going to do with certain workers. I mean, they pushed Austin Creed to the moon, and they just released the poor guy, So... in all honesty, it's impossible to speculate whether or not they would use her properly or not. Would she have great matches? Absolutely, because Natty can have great matches with a broom. I've seen her have great matches with, some of the worst workers that I've ever seen come through the dungeon. I've seen Natty pull good stuff out of them. So
try some of the girls that are on the current roster, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But has she been in any matches with these chicks?
She's been in some SmackDown matches. Before TJ and Harry got brought up, she was working some singles.
Yeah, rarely.
She was the girl that they went to shine up all of the bunnies.
Pretty
if you needed somebody to make a girl to make a model look great, Who did you get her to work with? Natty.
Yeah.
Big time.
Exactly. Because when I saw her...
That's a huge compliment to Natty. You know, a lot of people
But is it doing anything for her career, though, Johnny?
Well, she's paid, isn't she?
Well, she's
getting paid, the life of a wrestler. She lives the life of a wrestler 24-7, and she's gainfully employed. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Why does everybody seem to have this mentality that everybody needs to be pushed all the time? Well, if you're not getting a push, well, what are you doing there? Well, I'm earning a living and loving what I'm getting paid.
But if you want to get remembered, though, as a in the business as doing something, you got to get out there and do something, right?
Is that what you
watch wrestling for? Is so that you'll see somebody you'll remember?
Actually.
No, but I would think that the professional wrestlers want to get remembered. They want to, you know, go down in
history. No, they want to get paid and be healthy and live a long, happy life wrestling.
Is that where professional wrestling is with the athletes of today? Is that where it is for today?
Well,
I even hear John Cena talking about it's for the passion, and the guys of old in the golden era and in the circus tents days, whatever you have. They're talking about passion and how they do it for the business. They're not talking about money.
I do it for the business absolutely as well as everybody else. Anybody who gets into wrestling, for the most part, unless they were a bodybuilder beforehand, is in it because they love wrestling. Do you want to make a living at wrestling? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Does that require being paid? So, be quiet and let me fucking make my point. If you want to get paid and be a professional wrestler, you do what you're fucking told.
All right.
So if your job is to go out there...
Shut
up, goddammit!
Let him talk, man.
If your job is to go out there and shine somebody up, you go out there and do the best fucking job you can do. Whether or not you appreciate your spot is completely irrelevant to the fact that you are one of the few people on the planet making a living at professional wrestling. We are compared to every other major sport in the world, bottom line. And we are the only one that's held to a different standard. And so for us to actually get a job is 5 times harder than it is to get a job in the NFL because there are 5 times fewer spots.
All right.
So every wrestler who has a spot is happy and thankful to be getting gainfully paid.
All right.
Okay, hold on.
Hold on a second.
Let's go back to the caller because he said he had another question.
No. My turn. My show. I talk.
I twitch.
My turn. Thank you. You just told me, and I let me reiterate, when I talk to professional wrestlers of old, they all say they do it for the business. When I talk to Danny Hodge, it was all for the business. So I'm not putting you in this category. I didn't say you were out for the money, dude. So you can get on your high horse.
No.
Let me talk. I gave you the forum. Let me have the forum now. When I talk to a Danny Hodge, when I talk to the old timers and they say they did it for the passion, you guys have lost your way. You lost your way. You want it for the money. You want it for all this. I talked to them. So, you can
so my wanting to start a family and being able to pay for the food on the table is irrelevant.
I understand that.
Well,
that's new generation.
If you knew what I got paid at TNA, you would understand that I do it for the business.
And I'm not saying that you don't. I'm one of your biggest fans. I'm saying these guys that are out there now, they're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, what I'm telling you though is a push doesn't mean anything. If you're a wrestler and you work hard, your push will come. So for Natty to be putting over anybody at this point, it's not doing anything for her career. Absolutely it is. She's gainfully employed. That's doing something great for her career.
Okay, let me ask you about Bob Holly for all those years. Bob Holly was there
15 years. Natty could be someone that could be down the road the next Dave Divas champ. She's a worker, and I'm talking Nick now because I got to see her here in Tampa at FCW. And Johnny was one of the people, when I told him that I was covering FCW, he said, dude, first thing you got to do is you got to introduce yourself to TJ, Harry, and Natty. Tell them that you're friends with me. And I got to watch her week after week. He brought up the model thing. I got to watch her work the Bella Twins, Alicia Fox, all these girls, and I just sat there, and somebody asked me, so what do you think of her? I said, she's a mechanic, dude. Holy God. And how she's not brought up to the main roster now, I have no idea. And I'm happy to see her on. And if she's being the manager to the Hart Dynasty, fine. If she's being managed, if she's going to get pushed to the moon, fine. I got to go with Johnny on this one. She's there. We're not. 888-357-9876. Option 2 is the way to get on.
Wait, what happened to Mike's second question?
Yeah, are you
what happened
there,
to Mike in
his
second
question?
Go ahead
and ask him one. I'm still here.
Sorry, Mike.
No, it's cool. Actually, you said half of the stuff I wanted to say to Nick anyway. But the thing that kind of gets me is with the whole TNA versus WWE Monday Night Wars, which I definitely consider this being major bogus. It's what I like to call anything you can do, I can do better. My question is, now that their TNA management is like getting rid of half of the young original TNA superstars, do you think that TNA will pull something out of their ass just to outdo WWE?
Haven't they tried that already?
I was about to say that too. Have you been watching since January 4th, Mike?
Well, let me rephrase that.
Didn't I have kept Rick waiting Flair to see through all of Canada walking into the ring that night.
Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is that, you know, alright, okay, let's do WWE. Because at this moment, WWE just like got on my nerves because they're not giving the people that are really earning their spot the quote unquote push that they deserve. Like, just like Natalya.
Okay, but.
Hold on.
First of all, you gotta understand that from an outside perspective, you have no idea who is earning their spot or not. Because while in-ring performance counts for a lot, what you do outside of the ring counts for just as much, if not more. So, when you look at guys like, let's take a Kofi, for instance, okay?
Okay.
They put him over on Randy Orton recently. Was that enough of a push for him? I'm asking you, was it enough of a push?
For the fans, yes, but for me, no.
Okay. So you expect that Kofi should still be getting pushed?
Yeah.
Who should Kofi be going over on right now? Since he just went over on Randy Orton, what's the next logical step? Who's
Drew
above
McIntyre.
Orton? Well, Drew McIntyre's above Orton?
Well, in a storyline sense, is Randy packing gold right now, JP? No, he's not. Drew is.
Randy Orton is one of the top three guys in the company.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't need a belt to be over anymore, does he? That's the point of being over. You don't need a push to be truly over.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay? So Kofi, while he got his push and he got his rub from being put over on Randy, does he need more right now? Not necessarily. So you move to a guy like a Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger needs something, because what has he been doing for the last few months? Treading water.
Push-ups
on his entrance.
Jack Swagger nor Kofi Kingston are able to draw anybody, though.
Yet.
All right. Keyword, yet.
And that's the point. You have to create stars. They don't just pop out of nowhere. Hulk Hogan just didn't develop overnight into the biggest draw ever.
Right.
Stone Cold Steve Austin was the fucking ringmaster. When he was the ringmaster, were you going, that guy should be main eventing? No, you were going, that guy's fucking gimmick is lame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what you were doing, and I know it.
How do you explain Christian?
How do I explain Christian? Well, he's Canadian. He's blonde.
No,
tall,
no, you know what
got
I'm
a really
saying.
Hot, really hot wife.
You know what I'm saying. Former NWO champion, did amazing
NWA,
things.
NWA.
Yeah, you know what I was saying. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you like me to explain?
Well, shouldn't he be in a title picture, getting this huge push, but we're not seeing anything from him?
Does he need to be?
No.
No.
Was he over regardless of what he did in that match at WrestleMania? Has Christian achieved a level that we're at, no matter whether he holds a title or not, you respect him for how hard he's worked?
Yeah.
I do. Absolutely. I do respect him.
So, no. But what I'm saying is he at a level now that you respect him regardless of whether he has a title or not?
Yeah, that's true.
So, in your mind, would it not make more sense to wait on Christian's push until somebody like, I don't know, maybe Edge has the title? Wouldn't that make it more interesting?
Okay, but didn't Edge have the title at one point when Christian was in the company?
He just came back. He only had a tag title since then.
Okay.
But the point being, everybody can't be pushed at the same time. You gotta pick and choose your fights. When you're one of the boys and you get your push, you gotta take it and run with it. You know, that's the whole point of that. But not everybody can be pushed at the same time.
888-357-9876, option 2, or if you can get us on the Skype system, you can join us here with Hotshot Johnny Devon. We've got another caller. We're going to let Mike ask his one more. He said he had one more question, and then we're going to go to our next caller real quick. Mike, you said you had one more for Hotshot Johnny Devon?
Actually, I can't remember it, but I'm going to go. Right. Johnny, you are awesome. And, yeah.
Yes, nice I am. You, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, man.
And if all you don't believe
I appreciate
him,
that. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Just we've ask got another caller.
You know.
We've got another caller on here, and it happens to be a member of Tim Stein's WrestleTalk radio crew. Mace, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Alan. How about yourself? Johnny, how you doing,
pretty
bro?
Good.
What's going on, man?
Not much. Just a couple of quick questions for you, Johnny. The first one being, as a former member of the TNA roster, do you think the TNA is able to make any damage with the whole ratings war version 2 going on at the moment?
The way they're going about it right now, I don't believe they are, but I think things are about to turn around and change. I've seen a little shift in mentality lately, and I think things are going to start moving upwards as far as ratings goes, because now that you've got a guy like a Rob Van Dam and a Jeff Hardy working a little bit more, with those two guys alone, you can start bringing ratings up a little bit more.
Well, let me ask, because as someone who worked with the company and someone who is was on more than a friendly basis, which time, did you read the story online that a lot of people in the company felt he shouldn't even be in the spot he's in right now, where he's working with Rob Van Dam and working with Jeff Hardy in this thing with the band? Because that was online.
Eric,
I was just sitting there going, yeah, I read that and my jaw hit the floor. And I was just like, wait a minute. This is a guy who's been there as long. He came in around the same time you did in 2003 or 2004.
Yep.
So don't be telling me, as someone who covered TNA, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and saying, Eric doesn't belong in the conversation with these guys. He's not main event status. Bull crap.
Okay. But, again, and we go back to this, how do you elevate talent who are not main event? You have to put them with guys above them. That's why Kofi went over on Orton. This is why you put Eric Young in the ring with Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy, so that he is seen as a main event guy. Because nobody, and I guarantee you, and I know this for a fact because I used to live in Nashville with him and go to the gym with him every day, nobody in that company works as hard as Eric Young does to stay in that company. Eric Young loves that company beyond anything else on the planet and would do anything to stay there because he's happy and he loves it. And that company is finally starting to give him his due. They've elevated him slowly and they've brought him along slowly and they've kept him employed, which is wonderful, but they are now starting to give him his due and his shot at becoming a main event guy, and I think he's going to run with it. I think people just need to give him a chance. Everybody too quickly jumps on the, well, he doesn't deserve to be there. Well, why doesn't he deserve to be there? He's worked his ass off like everybody else. You know, just because he hasn't been there to date doesn't mean he doesn't deserve to be there.
Go ahead, Mace. You're back in, man.
It's all right. I thought you were going to jump in there, Alan.
No, go right ahead.
And my other question, and this is like completely opposite end of the spectrum type deal. I'm an Australian independent. I like that answer, man.
Sweet. How's it down? How's the indies down in Australia? Can you get me booked?
I don't do any booking, but I don't know. Damn. I'll see if there's anybody interested in grabbing you, man.
JohnnyDivine@shaw.ca. That's all you need to know.
Easy done, man. I've tried asking this of any American wrestler I've been able to get a hold of, and nobody's been able to give me a straight answer. Like, I understand training itself, your bumps, your moves, that's all mega important. But what a lot of them try and leave out is what other training should you have as a professional wrestler? Like, do you need to get your cardio up? Do you need to attend, like drama classes or something for mic work? Like, what would I need to sort of build on as a wrestler?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. This is where part of the problem lies, at least in North American wrestling. For me, and I know a number of others like me who see this constantly on the indies when we see young guys, is that trainers, quote unquote, nowadays, are anybody who owns a ring and who's had a match or two thinks that they are now qualified to be a wrestling trainer. Back in the day, training was full service. You got dramatic training. You got promo training. You got all of the tools that you were required to have for the business from your trainer. Nowadays, guys have to branch out and do other things because trainers, quote unquote, don't know any of this shit. So, yes, take trauma classes. Yes, get your ass in the gym and get in as much cardio as possible. It is better to be lean than big right now. Do you understand?
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
So, going forward, also, get etiquette training from wrestlers who've been in the business for over 10 years. Wrestling etiquette is tantamount. As soon as you enter a locker room, if you don't know it, you stand out like a sore thumb. And immediately, you are thought less of. So if you don't have proper etiquette training, get that, because that's important as well. And then, if you're not a creative guy, like if you don't come up with great ideas yourself for your gimmicks or for your, you know, your wrestling gear or your persona or that kind of thing, find somebody who's creative who can come up with something for you to make you stand out. Because there can only be so many, you know, greatest wrestler in the world gimmicks, right? And there's 8 million of them already. There can only be so many bikers. There can only be so many, you know, I'm the hardcore this or that Raven ripoff of this federation, you know. Think of something different. And if you can't, find somebody who can.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And
I asked the same question
and if you
Morgan,
need,
and he told me to get a college degree.
Absolutely. If you don't have an education, get one. I went back to school last year. And that is not a lie. Anybody Wojciechowski knows I went back to broadcasting school last year. You know, bottom line is get an education, because obviously you can't rely on the business to provide for you. You know, it's just not, it's not sound reasoning. And if you're looking for somebody who can help you with that etiquette training or maybe teach you the dungeon style of training, Johnny Divine is available for seminars as well.
Awesome.
Well, believe me, Johnny, I am planning to a trip up to the great white north of Canada. Tim Stein can attest to that. And if I ever get up there, I'll make sure to find a way to find you and sit there and pick your brain for a couple hours.
Well, if I'm not around, the one place you absolutely must hit if you're coming to Canada to wrestle and train, contact Scott Damore at canamwrestling.com, or sorry, canamwrestling@hotmail.com, and get into his school for a couple of days, if only for a couple of days. It is well worth it.
Thank you very much, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome.
Mace. That was a great
I
call.
That.
257-9876, option 2.
I'm
sorry, Aaron. Go ahead, man.
All right, now, Johnny. I enjoy listening to that because I've been looking into trying to get trained here in a few years as I graduate. So that was a really good little lesson for me. Now I know what to do.
Well, you see, the problem is too often people get blinded by, I got to train now, I got to get a trainer, I'm going to go down the street, that guy's got a training school, I'm going to train there, I'm going to be a wrestler, go! Meanwhile, you know, Shecky's training gym down the street that can't teach you a wrist lock from a wristwatch, you know,
yeah.
Why'd you just give that guy your money? Whereas there are schools where you can still get the full, you know, meal deal as far as training goes and get taught from the bottom straight to the top of everything you need to do to get to the top.
Yeah, and you would think with the way the team... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It's a little difficult to be able to do that in Southern Arkansas, though. So,
but if wrestling is what you want to do, get the fuck out of Southern Arkansas. Bottom line. If that's something you want to do, then you've got to move to do it if it's not near you. Simple as that. I had to move to Calgary to do it.
Yeah.
Get Nashville. There's a bunch of promotions running in Nashville right now.
Yeah.
In case you're just joining in going, who the heck is that guy yelling? That would be Hotshot John Devine, who currently, how did gig that you have right now with Network? Cause I out of the clear blue, you emailed me one day and said, dude, you gotta start looking at my videos. I'm on Fight Network. How did that come to be?
Well, I decided, you know, if wrestling fell through, and I ever got to the point where I just wasn't having fun with it anymore, then broadcasting was the next step for me. So as soon as I was done with TNA, I got my release, and I enrolled in a broadcasting school in Detroit. Spent the last year in school, got out in September of 09, moved to Toronto because I'm looking for a job. You know, you got to move to where the work is, right? You got to move to where the school is. So I moved to Toronto, walked into the Fight Network and said, hi, I'm Johnny Devine. I used to be an X-Division champion. Would you like a wrestling analyst? And they said yes.
Excellent.
That's
anybody
basically
else got
the short
else for them. Yeah. Now, what is your current status? If TNA called you tomorrow, would you be interested in going back to there, or are you sitting going, "Wow, I'm so glad I'm not there right now"?
Well, I mean, half of me watches the show and goes, "Oof, I don't know if I'd be glad being there right now," because chances are I'd have been being put through some kind of table by the Nasty Boys, if I was still there right now. Part of me sits there and goes, you know, if they call tomorrow, I would give it some serious thought. I mean, I'm still in shape. I still train. I still work out. I still wrestle, you know, a couple times a month here and there. So absolutely, I'd be up for it. Is it going to happen? Probably not. I mean, they're overloaded with talent as it is. You know, but always, you know, I can't remember his name. What was the name of the guy in Beyond the Mat who was on the trampoline with the weight?
Oh, God.
Dennis Stamp.
Dennis Stamp. I got a Dennis. You never know when that next call is going to come. You got to stay in shape. You know?
All right. On that note, we are going to let you go ahead and go. I'm going to give you a call in a few minutes on the bat phone there, JP. So thank you very much,
right.
Johnny Devine, for joining us. You can find him on Facebook.
Plug all my stuff and tell people to book me and book me for seminars.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Johnny Devine.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
We're like on an interview streak, except for that Russell Blicious oblaw guy. I don't know if this is true, guys, and Nick can kind of... Are you with us next week,
I'm
Nick,
here, yeah.
You,
oh, I don't know.
Are you on next?
I'm not sure yet.
Because I heard a story. I think Scott and Corey have us lined up, and we're going to wrap it up. We're going to let Aaron and Nick wrap it up here. Rumor or fact that we have got legendary manager Sir Oliver Humperdinck next week.
Oh, wow.
Is that the case? We got Humperdinck?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I can't wait for that.
And that's a great segue.
I think Scott and Corey are working on it because the Cauliflower Alley is coming up.
Yeah, let me get into it here, Alan. This is a great segue that you did for me. I can't pass it up.
The
CAC. You brought up the CAC, Alan. Hold up, Aaron. Damn it. I get a freaking Johnny Devine on me. Everybody in the chat room on me. Johnny Devine, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And know what? The younger generation in pro wrestling is all whacked out, man. All whacked out. No wonder no one's hardly they're watching Raw, but the younger kids are watching Raw. The older professional wrestling fan is not watching this crap, and you heard it right from Johnny Devine, JP. You heard it from him right now. No wonder. They're all doing it for the money. And you brought up the CAC, Alan, with Oliver Humperdinck coming on. I wonder what they would say if they heard, JP, what he just said. I wonder what they would say. Oh, they're doing it for the money. Bull crap. And you can say whatever you want to say about me, but I talked to the guys, to the old guys. I was at the CAC, and they say, yeah, a lot has changed. A lot has changed, and JP, you're it. You're that change. Of course you want to do it to get paid. We all know that. But if you ain't got any passion, any feeling behind your work, what good is it? If I didn't have any passion or feeling behind what I do, what good is it? I'm just here to get a paycheck. I would have the worst ratings in the world. I'm just here to do the very least just to get a paycheck. So I'll just come on every when they'll book me, and I'll just do my thing, get money, and split. Not making any, not doing anything other than just showing up. That's bull crap. And professional wrestling would not be where it is today, JP, if people had that mindset. What the hell are you talking about, man? Bull crap. Let's just go off the air right now. Let's just go. Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. I'm out.
Sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.